For those of you at home, there's some magic happening right now. Neil is out of the studio. And I'm Al Haig. It's going to be a bloody coup. It's a takeover now. And no, he is Jack Rico's our special guest today. By the way, this is what's called in the business a cold opening. So we will do the music and everything in just a moment. But first, Rico and Rosen are doing some little comedy bit for Jack's live Facebook page. Again, this is Sitting Around Talking Movies, and we have a lot to talk about. We're going to chat about the Oscars, and did Jimmy Kimmel do the right thing at the end of the show? The bit he was supposed to do with Matt Damon that got scrubbed at the last second. In fact, Damon actually noticed that there was a problem before Jimmy did. And so we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about some new movies, as we always do. And where are these guys now? Because we're already like 5 minutes into this show, and I think I'm more bored than you are listening to this. Brigoli, just quickly, yes. Did you like the Oscars?
No, I was bored.
Okay, let's see if everyone else was. But first,
guys are coming.
What?
Everybody's here. Everything's already set up for you, Neil.
Look at this.
Look at this.
My goodness.
Thank God you're all right.
We were.
How we doing? Welcome to another episode of Sitting Around Talking Movies. I'm here with Jack Rico from Showbiz Cafe, and I'm here with Bill Brigoli.
Oh yeah, from somewhere.
Bill McCuddy.
Yes. And we're tired. We're tired, but it's a good tired.
Well, Neil's been burnt out for a while.
And I'm Neil Rosen, and before we get to some movies,
we're like Santa. We work one day a year, basically. It's for the Oscars. And
well, before we talk about some movies like Catfight and Doctor Strange is coming out on video and on demand, and so is Allied, we're going to have a long discussion about this holy shit debacle that happened on Sunday night that we were all working, we were all covering at the Oscars.
There was Watergate and now there's Warrengate.
And I gotta tell you, I'm sitting here at New York One, which is where, we're doing this podcast today, and this is sort of an after show to a TV show we do at New York One called Talking Pictures, which...
Really more of an afterthought.
Which airs on Spectrum, Time Warner Cable, and... New York One here in New York, and
check local listings.
It's 12 o'clock. The show, the show is over for all practical purposes. I'm ready to write my story that's going to air in the morning, and then when this thing
you'd written that hours earlier.
And when this thing happens, which we'll talk about in a moment, where they announce the wrong winner, it stops becoming an entertainment story that's going to be running somewhere in the news in the morning. It becomes the tops. It becomes a news story. It becomes the lead. Number one top story. And so now I'm here till like 4 a.m. because it's like, this is like all of a sudden the news people are like, we're leading with this, we're starting with this. But what was going through your mind, Jack, when you were watching this particular thing?
I got to be honest with you. I thought the whole thing was a bit from Jimmy Kimmel at first, because how could the Oscar Awards ever... live up to such a screw job of such epic proportions, and it was something
those accountants
that,
they trot out every year that they do everything in triplicate.
One job, right. And you couldn't even do that right.
Apparently, the guy was busy. Apparently, the way this works, there's two sets of envelopes in case somebody loses an envelope. Apparently the two PricewaterhouseCoopers people, they memorize all the winners. And they have two sets of envelopes in case somebody, they lose. So, okay, so you got a backup. I understand that. And once is at one set of the side of the stage.
Just like David Copperfield.
And one is on the other side of the stage. And they hand the thing. So apparently the guy was too busy tweeting. It's almost like that Joan Rivers thing.
Well, that's the accusation.
She was under anesthesia and somebody was tweeting selfies with her. Or they were tweeting.
Well, nobody died here except a couple of egos.
But the guy was busy tweeting a picture with Emma Stone or something like that. So they're handed. So Warren Beatty and Faye Dunaway are handed the wrong envelope, and I think that Warren Beatty threw Faye Dunaway under the bus.
Jimmy Kimmel said Clyde threw Bonnie under the bus. I don't think that's true, actually.
Well,
I think
he opens the envelope and he reads it, and it doesn't make sense to him because it says Emma Stone, La La Land. And, and that's and you think that it's he's just stalling and trying to, you know, just...
Well, it looks like a joke at first.
Right, he looks like he's
well, and remember, remember Warren Beatty is notorious for long pauses, and Faye Dunaway is pissed. She's looking at him like, oh, and laughing it off, you're so impossible. But, you know, they have bad history for making Bonnie and Clyde. Peter Biskin was talking about that in interviews today in The Hollywood Reporter. They did not get along. And so who knows what their relationship's like now. But the point is, at that moment, she was like, come on, you jackass, let's just get this over
and
with.
And I think that he's just... stealing screen time and just being like, you know, trying to be like
Warren Beatty, the film icon,
the man we've all had 3-hour telephone conversations with.
But the essence of it is he reads the card and it doesn't make sense. And he's like, and she's like, which we're all thinking he's stalling for time. And she's like, come on already. So he's like, just hands
she
it up to her.
She said, you're so impossible.
Right, you read it.
Well, no,
so
I she's just like, no, I disagree with that. Allow me, Bill, here, allow me to say, you know, I think what happened was, is he wanted to share the confusion with Faye and said, look, read this. And instead of reading it...
In other words,
and
there's a problem here. There's a problem here. Uh-huh. He didn't say those words.
He didn't because he couldn't.
But he's not. He's And also, don't you think he's sort of waiting for somebody else, like Price Waterhouse, or somebody to go, there's a problem here?
Well, the big question is, and what I think everybody's trying to get to is, would it have been right if Warren Beatty... pause for a second, looked over and said, I got the wrong car.
That would be great.
And have somebody come in. I mean, remember, back in 1964, this happened with Sammy Davis Jr.
Yeah, I think we all remember that.
Audrey Kremen, and Irma LaDuce. I remember that very vividly. Right. You remember that?
All of you guys remember that.
I was there. I was covering it.
No, were you really? Were you really?
No.
Highlights Magazine.
But this happened before in a much lesser category, but somebody came out and gave him the right one. And so...
By the way, Jack, can I pause for just a second? I want to thank you for thinking Bill Bregoli is 85 years old.
Well, you guys, he sounded very convincing when he was saying it. But this isn't the first time that it happens, and I think it could have been corrected by him just looking at someone, having the producer come out and say, look, I got the wrong
card. Okay, so Jack and I are talking on the phone like yesterday. We were recording this show, by the way, Tuesday. Oscars were Sunday night. And Jack asked me what my impression of this when it was happening, and I'm sitting there, and you know, the first guy, three producers made speeches. So the second guy makes a speech, and then they cut away to this super long wide shot where you're looking at the proscenium arch, and you're kind of the kind of image on the TV screen looks like if you were sitting in the balcony and looking at the stage. And the third guy's making the speech, and I'm saying to myself, I guess the show is running long. I guess they didn't want the third guy to speak, so they were just kind of trying to end the show. And I'm saying to myself, this is going through my head. I'm going, I wonder, well, the guy's making the speech anyway. I'm wondering if they're going to cut back to the guy since the guy is making the speech, which they do. And then the guy at the end of the toward the end of the speech goes, doesn't matter, we lost anyway. So I'm saying to myself, what's going on here? And in retrospect, did the guy knew that he lost when he started making the speech, but said, hell with it, I'm up here anyway, I'm going to thank some people?
Well, I this is like an Oliver Stone theory. I'm asking,
you know what I'm
where's
about?
The grassy knoll in the Kodak Theater?
Yeah,
of course. I mean, we all saw the same thing, and everyone was thinking, at first, I thought, oh, this is a bit. This is something that Kimmel's doing. Kimmel addressed that last night on his show. And then I thought, oh, this is just really sad. But listen, what no one has talked about was there was a really good chance, especially if you're Warren Beatty and you open that thing, that La La Land was the winner.
Sure.
So maybe he thought, no harm, no foul. We'll say La La Land. It probably is La La Land. It's won everything else up until that point.
Yeah,
and you
true.
Have to wonder, has this ever happened before where they've opened the wrong envelope, but it has the right answer? We'll never know. My God, Price Waterhouse is never going to cop
to it. This certainly solves
nothing
the
would
mystery.
Have happened. Nothing would have happened if La La Land had been the winner.
Well,
it would have been business as usual. Yeah. Nobody would have
Here's
said anything.
Here's a question. Should Price Waterhouse Cooper yeah right
well they've done the Oscars for 80 some odd years. I think the guy should be fired who handed the wrong envelope. I mean, I think the accountant for listen, this was a major screw up. I mean, this isn't like
and yet it was the best thing of the night.
It wasn't like best costume design in the middle of the show or something, and they say, hey, there's a mistake here. I mean, this is the number one category. What everybody's what is going to win Best Picture of the Year?
Yeah, the pinnacle of cinema.
If you're going to write a movie, you don't do it with the Best Documentary category. I mean, this is like the last category of the night. This is their main event.
Well, the big irony that I pointed out on the show.
It's called Envelope. Super Bowl of
films. It's called Envelope Gate now. It has a name.
The big irony, I think, is that the end of the Oscars was like the end of La La Land. For a moment, we got to imagine how life would have been different. And, I think that that's kind of the sweet little end to it. I mean, it was too bad for Moonlight, which deserved its own moment, obviously. And it's really tough for La La Land. But backstage, those people were being completely, ladies and gentlemen about it.
Well, you know what's crazy is that if Moonlight, let's say this mistake never happened, and the right envelope was given to Warren Beatty and Faye Dunaway, and they open the envelope, they go, and the winner is Moonlight. That unto itself is a shocking story, because the odds were that the lock of the evening was La La Land.
Right, so in a way,
picture.
We got robbed of the great,
so
oh my God
forget
moment.
Forget the mistake.
Can you
part
imagine
of it?
The gasp that would have gone through that room?
We got
when
robbed
that
of the dramatic
we got
impact.
Robbed of that.
I think you had more
Moonlight.
Of a dramatic impact, don't you think, Bill Bergoglio?
Well,
with this?
We'll never know.
Sure.
We'll never know.
As Bill said, we'll never know.
And can you imagine if this thing was backwards? Can you imagine if Chris Hardwick, who hosts the show called After Midnight, mentioned this last night? And I said, yeah, that's a brilliant point. If it was La La Land that won, but they gave him the Mahershala Ali envelope, and Faye Dunaway is the winner is Moonlight, and all the Moonlight cast come after Oscar So White controversy last year, you know, all the African-American actors come up there, and they start making acceptance speeches, and then they go, no, it's a mistake. You've got to sit down. La La Land. Can you imagine if this was in reverse? What a fuck-up that would be?
Here's what
everybody
I think.
Everybody was kung fu fighting.
What I can't get over is the public humiliation of Ryan Gosling, Emma Stone, Damien Chazelle, and all the producers and everybody that worked in this, who literally gave some heartfelt speeches. Thank God their agents, their family, kids, they kind of threw their everything out on the line, received the awards, were holding the awards, and to then have to give it back.
They were gracious, though. They were really
nevertheless,
great.
That is embarrassing, and that is humiliating, and that is the Academy's fault, because how do you get over that when you have to face the whole industry afterwards, backstage
and
the press?
So you're saying they have a lawsuit, that they can get some damages out of
can
this.
Can I? You know what? I never framed it like that, but can I be honest with you? That is exactly
well,
what
somebody
I think
made a comment. Somebody
it's
made a comment
movies.
During the show. I don't know if you
no,
caught this or not.
No, but this is a major, like Neil said, this is a major fuck up.
Well, listen, yeah. You know, somebody said
made the, show
the La La Land people, or was somebody maybe from Moonlight that said, we've been doing this circuit for months now, and it's really true. Like, they've been at the Critics' Choice Awards and the Golden Globe Awards and the SAG Awards
it's
and blah, blah, blah,
it becomes
blah.
Almost...
Right, so it's, you know, even though this is the big one, it's the Academy Awards, it's like La La Land in a way, it's... Somebody said, like, we've been on the circuit with them and, you know, like, we're happy that they're winning the awards. Like, oh, yeah, we won everything else, it's happy. You know, so it's kind of like... They've been traveling together, you know, like when we saw the Best Documentary, which is O.J. Made in America, win Best Documentary, Bill and I were at the Critics' Choice Documentary Awards, and I sat at the table with your wife, Bill uh-huh. McCuddy, uh-huh. and those people...
Stay away from her,
travel,
by the way. She told me what happened.
You travel around. If you're amongst that group of Manchester by the Sea, Moonlight... La La Land, you know, Hidden Figures, and you know, you've been traveling to like 35 award shows
right.
over the
in
last 3 months. And if you're La La Land, you're probably winning most of them. So, you know, in a way, it's embarrassing, but it's not like it's not like 1940 when the only award show in town for the movies is the Oscars. And the Tonys is the only award show for Broadway. And the only music show is the Grammys. And the only TV show is the Emmys. Now there's like 300 award shows.
Well, and guess
so
what?
In a way,
the
it's
Oscars.
Like, okay, we lost this one, but we won the other 15
but,
of them.
But
you know?
the flip side of that argument is that I said last week on the show is that the Oscars like to zig where the others have zagged, and they were not going to rubber stamp.
Well,
La
you
La
said
Land,
it was going to be Hidden Figures.
Well, that's what I was told by, I mean, I can't say how many people, but I talked to a lot of voters, and they said they were underwhelmed with what they called not really a musical, and that they thought that they would vote it for something else.
Oscar nominations. I mean,
hey, I'm thrilled that Moonlight won. I think it's a better movie than La La Land, although La La Land won for directing.
They're two
I don't
different
know.
Movies.
I don't
you
know
can't even
that.
Compare these
yeah,
movies at all. I mean,
some
we're talking about a musical, and then you're talking about an intimate... portrait of a Black America with an LGBTQ homosexual storyline. I mean, this is a super niche movie for a particular type
of
hand
job heard around the world. But
this is, you know, two different things.
All right, Bill.
5 years from now, wait a minute. 5 years from now, which movie will we? Will we remember La La Land or will we remember Moonlight?
You're going to remember this. You're going to remember this incident.
That's true.
Yeah. This is the thing that you're going to all... This is going down in history as like the most memorable, as screwed up as it was, the thing you'll most remember of any Oscar show ever. This beats the Sally Field, They Like Me, They Really Like Me.
This is it.
The Jack Palance and doing the
one-handed
push-up.
Push-ups.
You know, if you just think back...
Marissa Tomei, did she really win or didn't she?
Well, that proved that she really won. I mean, if there's ever an argument whether Marissa, there's always
well,
a
we don't
story.
Know how it was handled then versus
no,
now.
There's but. Always a story about, you know, that who was the one that was reading it? The Marissa Tomei thing?
That was Jack Palance.
The Jack Palance read Marissa Tomei wrong and that they didn't want to correct him and they gave and that she didn't really win because she was like a 80-1 shot, you know, and this proves to me that she's the legitimate winner of that Academy Award because they would have
stopped
it.
Will Kimmel be invited back?
I love Kimmel. I thought he was great.
Okay, I have a couple of things to say about that. Number one, I'm sick and tired of these hosts taking the most prestigious
Well, he made it
film.
Jimmy Kimmel Live.
They created Jimmy Kimmel Live. James Corden does the Late Late Show with James Corden at the Grammys. David Letterman. Let's not take something that is meant to be prestigious.
He did mean. He did mean tweets. He did a bus tour that came in. Did you like the bus tour bit?
No.
Did you? Okay. Right. So it was basically. No.
And by the way, that was a little racist at moments. First of all, he had
that
Mahershala
was racist.
Ali.
What about picking up the little kid?
Well,
doing
yeah,
the Lion King.
That was extremely racist as well. I mean, the fact that he gets away with the fact that he asked an Asian man, "What is your name?" and he says Patrick. He goes, "Now that's a real name." We're talking about the man is socially tone deaf at what's going on in the world right
well,
now.
Well, he also accused the black couple that had just gotten engaged of only paying attention to the black actors in the front row. Did you
hear
that line?
Right, that was unbelievable.
Okay. I want to know Bill Bregoli's reaction to when you were watching this whole thing. Like, what was going through your head?
I was in a different world. I was in a control room at CBS Radio News with tons of equipment and no one else. And I had a TV on in the background. Behind me. Now, they said, La La Land. I said, fine. I pushed my seat over to a terminal and started to call up our operations desk in Denver to test a sports show to make sure they could hear it down the line. That was my job. All right. So I was working when all this came on.
So the Oscars are just in the background.
The Oscars
are
in the background. I'm on the phone with Denver going, oh, all right, can you hear me down on 126?
Can you hear me?
Can you hear me? Bop, 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 bop. Turned my head around. What the hell's going on? Hung up with the guy. And then I all started to wonder, okay, how is CBS going to handle this? It's not their show. We weren't covering it live. CBS Radio News had a correspondent there, Steve Futterman, on an ISDN line. And
all of a sudden, they wanted him, right? All of a sudden, they started calling you and saying...
Well, don't forget, Steve is in a tent behind. This is what happened when you cover the Oscars. He's in a tent watching it. All these correspondents are watching it on TV just like the rest of us. Uh-huh. So I'm not exactly sure what happened with Steve. He was also talking to the newsroom directly. And they just went with it. It was a totally confused thing. Every newscast from about 1 a.m. on
led with that.
I left at 6:30 a.m.
Of course.
Everyone led with it. And
yeah, as I said, it stopped becoming – usually I do this every year, and it's not the top story. I mean, it's like – and Neil Rosen has his Oscar. It's like this
I was kidding
the,
about
was
you
the,
having written your piece before it was over, but like nine-tenths of the way through the evening, you do start to go – you
well,
start
I
to
tweeted
type out what
after
your thing
La La
is
Land
be.
And I went 12 for – I tweeted. I had deleted the tweet. I said I was 12 for 12 for the evening. I picked Casey. I picked everything correctly. And if you want to throw in the technical categories, I was like 14 – for 14. So then, you know, when this happened, I was like, you know, I had to delete that.
You're right, Neil. It was a personal conspiracy against you.
Well, I want to tell you, you were talking, Jack, about Jimmy Kimmel. He and the racism, though, he did have the funniest what I thought was the funniest line.
Which one was that?
When he said in the beginning, he goes, I'm going to say something this might be unpopular, but I want to say something positive about about President Trump. I want to thank him because you remember last year when people thought the Oscars seemed racist? I thought that was...
No, that's that was a quoted line. A lot of things were
that
quoted.
That was a funny
I don't know line. If he gets the gig again, though. I don't know if he gets asked again.
Here's why he will get asked again. Because I mentioned this on the podcast last week.
It's more of a business move, right?
Because ABC now goes with their talent to promote their late night show. CBS does the Kennedy Center Honor, so they had Colbert do that, and they do the Grammys.
James
so they have
Corden.
NBC had Jimmy Fallon because they have the Emmys. So that's what it is now.
It's I disagree.
You're the network that does
it. The producers are outside producers. They run the show. They get paid by ABC
to
do it.
How do you account that all of these award shows are using the talent that they're there?
It didn't. It hasn't on ABC for years and years and years and years.
It is now.
No, but Kimmel's been waiting in the wings.
You agree, ABC is the last one to cave into that notion, they are, to that theory. And now all of the late night hosts have a big platform, the big show.
Not for the Oscars.
I bet you Kimmel's ratings last night, who did do a rerun.
Absolutely.
I bet
you there were worse ratings since 2008.
If you look at the late night wars at 11:30, okay, for the last few years, it was Fallon followed by Colbert, and Kimmel was in third place. Although
it's
Colbert number one.
Right.
Close on his heels Fallon. Is Fallon, because people are going to Colbert because he's more politically...
He's more of the time.
He hates Trump, and he says it.
Right. Yeah. Whereas Fallon's more vanilla, but... I'll bet you, I don't know, I haven't looked at the ratings. I would bet you
they are the ratings since 2008.
Jimmy Kimmel probably killed last night in the ratings on Monday Night Show.
He did not. Maybe on his own label.
That's what he's talking about on Monday Night.
The big question. And people liked him last night.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. They got lower numbers this year than ever. It's trending down. 32.9 million. And the hot demo, the young demo that they were going after, every year they say, let's make this show younger. They really got stung in that one. It was way down. So,
let me tell you something.
Talking about promoting the ratings for Jimmy Kimmel Live, the late night show.
They'd like that, but they don't get to make that decision.
Two things. Number one, I think that after this debacle, this botch of epic proportions, there's going to be a reassessment and a reevaluation of the production of this show moving forward. And that starts with the host. You can't have a host hijack the Oscar awards or the Grammys or the Tonys or whatever it is and create it into their own late night show. You just can't. So who is the embodiment? What kind of host are we looking for?
Do we
eliminate the host altogether, like the SAG awards?
If you want to look at the history of the Oscars,
you got to cut it down from 3 hours, 4 hours to 2 hours, okay. Neil.
You don't do the Matt Damon gag. Let me just make one.
That's how the show was supposed to be.
Person audience that has. Imagine watching the BAFTAs. Imagine watching the BAFTAs and having who's the late night? Graham Norton come out and do a joke about Hugh Grant. And we don't know in America that they have a long feud. It means nothing to us. To the international audience, they must have been going, what the hell?
Well, you know that the show, if the debacle didn't happen, the show was supposed to end. Jimmy Kimmel said on the show last night with him sitting in the
making
audience
up with
not making up, but
well, doing
some
bit.
Kind of bit of business, you know.
And you do what was interesting. But, you know what he also said, that it wasn't Kimmel that noticed that there was a problem. It was Damon who said, "Hey, I just heard the stage manager say they
Kimmel
picked the
said,
wrong
yeah,
movie."
Well, the host will get up to take care of it. Wait a minute, I am the host. I got to go up there. But you know, Kimmel said on his show last night, which is very interesting, there were some other major screw ups on that show. First of all, during the rehearsal in the afternoon, these two giant wood structures that looked like city skyline things fell down. It sounded, they thought a bomb went off in the theater. And Jimmy Kimmel said that it could have crushed me to death. He just happened to coincidentally walk off the stage, and these things fell down. They weighed a couple of tons.
Wow.
Literally, nobody got hurt, but it could have easily crushed somebody.
Sarah Silverman is still very bitter.
I don't get the joke.
She probably planned that to crush him.
Kimmel said I would have been the only host that would have been host of the show and in the memoriam reel.
That's funny.
But I know. But so and then
his Steve Harvey gag was not good.
Speaking about the memoriam reel, They showed a face of a woman in
the, God, that's right. That she's still living.
Exactly.
Exactly. And then she's what about the Moana Pagoda. Butch?
She's the new
What
Abe
about
Pagoda.
The Moana graze of the flag? Well, a woman was singing. There was a close-up on her. She's the lead singer for the Moana movie, who happens to be Hawaiian. She was singing off the top of her lungs, and then all of a sudden, one of these huge blue capes the size of a building just kind of just grazes her hair. I'm surprised that she wasn't, like, completely shocked on it, but these are the little things that I'm talking about.
I'm telling you, like, seriously, they had a photograph. She goes, with all the video cameras, nobody filmed those things falling, but they showed you a picture of them. It's unbelievable, these two things during rehearsal that fell down on the floor. And Kimmel said he was literally had just walked off
but
the stage.
But that wasn't live, though.
And it wouldn't have been like he wouldn't... Yeah, but it wouldn't have been like he was hurt. He would have died.
I like mean, Joe Bologna in My Favorite Year.
Well, it's... I don't know. It was quite.
Are you guys happy with the Oscar show?
I liked the show. Unlike you, Jack, I thought Jimmy Kimmel did a good job. I was entertained by him.
I liked his monologue, but it was a BB plus, and he's not going to be invited back with all of those.
What do
bits.
You think, Bergoglio? Is he coming back?
No, I think it'll be somebody from an ABC show that they'll bring in.
Like who?
Well, I don't know. Whatever the big
Michael
hit show.
Strahan.
What
Something
about
like
Eddie
that, yeah.
Murphy?
Yeah.
What about Eddie Murphy?
Eddie Murphy
getting
hasn't
him
done stand-up.
He's not funny anymore.
30 years.
That's true.
I think he's going back on the road
They'll
though.
Bring in the guy who plays Cam on Modern Family. He'll be
they
the
could do that?
Have Sofia Vergara do it.
It's not
Eric Stone Street.
It was a long overdue thing that they did once. Having ABC put its late night guy up there. It's not going to happen again.
It's not.
It's well, produced by outside people.
Do you know that Kimmel
it's
said that in the monologue?
Yeah, they're never going to bring me back
again. First year hosting, and knowing the history of this show, this is my only shot at doing this. They'll never bring me back.
I agree.
Absolutely.
Were you happy with the with the winners? I pretty much predict. I don't want to toot my own horn, but other than that La La Land thing, I predicted
you
everything.
No, picked all the easy.
I was not happy.
You had all. You
I
had everybody.
The odds were for Denzel.
I was not happy. Your $100 bet.
Oh, I have to pay up today. But here, let's remind the people of what the bet was.
The bet was we have. First of all, Bill.
I very kindly take the long shot every year.
We
so
have
that
two bets. The first
it's kind
bet,
of an adorable thing I do, so that he gets to win every year.
Okay. Yes. So the bet was that I took Emma Stone.
Neil gives the money to charity, right? And the Neil Rosen Home for.
It's the Neil Rosen Memorial Book Club. So anyway. I took Emma Stone and Bill took the field because he felt that Isabelle Huppert was going to be honored for her.
Well, guess what? She won the day before at the Independent Spirits and everybody went nuts going, okay,
so
Emma's out.
On Facebook Live and on our podcast, I would like you to pay up the bet.
All right, hold on.
Witnesses.
I got to get this.
Is this
camera.
Legal? I don't think this is hold legal. On. So yeah. I would, but I don't think it's allowed.
I think it's allowed.
It's prop money anyway.
Yeah, let's see what he has in there.
The real thing.
Oh my
we
God,
bet
$100.
We bet $100.
All right, hold on. Can Neil, can
here's
you touch
60.
The money? Make sure that it's real.
Yeah, hold that up to the light.
It's only 60, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh my God,
boys and girls.
This is real. It's $100.
Wait, well, it's $60. I've got the other 40 in my coat, so you'll get it before the.
I'll throw in some change.
Wait, hold on a second. Are you throwing in some change?
I'm gonna help Bill out.
Okay, so
I don't want to know where
Bill
that Kleenex
owes
is
me $105 because we had a $5 bet that Hidden Figures on the podcast last week. Would not win Best Picture. And then Bill owes me dinner because we did another bet on...
How stupid am I?
On Mahershala Ali.
Don't answer that, Mrs. McCutty.
You felt that Michael Shannon was going to...
Well, you gave me the field. I thought Dev Patel really had the shot. He was the one that
so
had...
So Bill owes me dinner. He now owes me another $40 because this is only $60.
I didn't like
and
the
I'll let
winners.
You slide on the five if you get me into the...
I did not like the winners. I thought Denzel should have won Best Actor. I thought Annette Bening should have been nominated and Jackie... Natalie Portman's performance of Jackie should have won. I have no problems with Moonlight winning, but to me it was La La Land's year in that particular one. So, yeah, O.J. Made in America. How do you sell that to the public audience?
Well, wait,
how do
can I tell you something? Can
a
I tell
10
you?
A 10-hour miniseries.
I was with an Oscar. I was with the documentary Oscar winner on Friday doing a pre-show at Good Day New York. And this guy won like 8 years ago, and he pulls me aside and he goes, I said, did you, you know, who's going to win this year in your category? He didn't have anything. And he said, the OJ thing. He said, I hope 13th wins. He liked 13th.
But I loved 13th.
But
extremely
he said,
insightful.
This isn't fair that this OJ thing is being considered here. That the filmmakers got to say, we always intended this to be an 8-hour movie for release. It's obviously a made-for-television. He said, if you look every hour they reboot them with things.
Where did it air? Where did it air?
ESPN.
ESPN.
And did it ever air theatrically? Because it has to air. It has to.
Of course,
we
were invited. Remember, they invited us to a dinner, and you got to. There was a break, and you had to eat, watch it for 8 hours, and so they four-walled it. They had to. They had to be considered. I think even a documentary.
Right, aside from the big screw up at the end, any other memorable moments before we move on to a couple of movies that we're going to talk about?
I love some of the speeches, like Gael García Bernal's speech, where he talked about the separation between Mexico and the United States.
Yeah, that got applause.
That got a big standing ovation.
I told you Salesman was going to win. I told you that they were going to be. He was
very politically.
First, he didn't think he could get into the country because of the travel ban, and then when he boycotted it, and I said that was going to win, and that won, and you had the woman come up and read the statement.
Did you hear what Trump said about the whole debacle?
It was amateur hour.
It was all because of me.
It's called Because of Me. They were distracted.
Yeah. It's always because of it. It's all about
but him. The other thing that I truly think that we haven't talked about yet is how the diversity, the inclusion in this Oscars was historic.
Better movies.
The first 2 hours of the whole Oscar broadcast was foreign filmmakers winning for everything. I mean, you could have just put the United Nations of filmmakers out there for the first 2 hours.
Right.
And then obviously you end off with the presenters. You had Gael García Bernal. You had so many Hispanic people that I can't remember right now. And then you end off with Viola Davis winning. So you had everything going on there.
You had better movies.
Major statement.
You had better.
A couple of things I liked about
representation by African Americans this year.
They had montages before categories. Like they said, like they were going to do the best supporting actor. And they showed a very like a minute or a minute and a half montage of other best supporting actor winners. Right. They did that with many of the categories. I like that. There were a couple of short films that were playing throughout that I thought were really good. One with this escapes me.
Time Code.
No. He was in the Woody Allen film, Vicky Cristina Barcelona. I love
Javier Bardem.
Right, so
them talking about the movies that influenced them.
Right, and everybody's going.
By the way, I didn't like that because Meryl Streep was not his inspiration. Everybody who knows Javier Bardem knows his Al Pacino is his, you know, icon.
But I like the fact that they were naming some interesting movies. Like it wasn't like everybody's going, oh, The Godfather.
Yeah, and then they walked out.
Citizen Kane.
And then they walked out as presenters. Then they came out together as presenters. Yeah, I thought that was cool.
I like these little films. I thought they were good. Talking about the magic of movies.
All right. You know when we will realize that there is diversity at the Oscars? When the winner of Best Sound Mixing is a minority.
Yeah.
Or the winner of Best Editing. You still don't see those people.
No. Bradford Young, which was the cinematographer for Arrival, was nominated for an Oscar. Sound mixing also minorities and African-American. So what you're really looking at here is this was a statement. This was take your Oscar so white hashtag and shove it up your butt because there's no way that you're ever going to throw that in our face again. And I think that that's
but I don't think it was for that reason. I think they had better movies to choose from this year. And I think the Academy would be very insulted to think that they haven't honored films like, which is very flawed, but Guess Who's Coming to Dinner? Spike Lee's Do the Right Thing. They like movies about good stories, no matter who tells them. And I'll tell you one last thing on this, which is that they included 300 new members this year. So people like Common and a lot of younger people, a lot of African Americans, a lot of minorities, but also in that 300, a tremendous number of foreign voters.
Yes.
So they I'm not saying out of 6,000, 300 made a difference, but it's a start.
So you're not suggesting, Bill Bregoli, that like the sound editing and mixing person that they were trying to go, are you suggesting?
I'm saying there aren't enough minorities in the behind the camera positions.
Oh, I see. Yeah, that's true.
But they got nominated.
All right, very quickly before we wrap up here, there's a new movie that opened up on demand. It's on demand this week. It's called Catfight. And it stars Anne Heche and Sandra Oh as two frenemies from college that get reunited at a Anne Heche is very Sandra Oh is very wealthy, and her investment banker husband is throwing this party and tells his wife Sandra Oh not to drink because she always makes a scene when she drinks at these things. Anne Heche is a caterer at the party. They run into each other, and they literally start catfighting each other, which leads to Anne Heche goes out in the hallway.
Catfighting.
Goes into the stairwell to have a cigarette, and Sandra Oh goes out there for some other reason.
Oh, let's not relive this thing scene by scene.
And then they start beating the shit out of each other.
I mean beating the shit out of each other.
Yeah.
Did you like the movie?
Like almost cartoony.
No, yeah. I did not like the movie.
I liked it. I liked it. I thought it had a sense of style. I thought that this, if Quentin Tarantino directed Mean Girls, I think that's what this would look like. It was very violent.
Did the same scene in Vivica Fox and Uma Thurman and Kill Bill.
But you're missing the point. The movie is about two women. First of all, you don't see too many movies with two women so much today. And these women aren't fighting for a lover. They're not. There's no the typical stereotypes and tropes of female problems. They just didn't like each other. And so in the three-act, three-fight, we see them go from extreme basically meltdown to extreme success. And each one of them goes through that. And I thoroughly enjoyed that.
Did you watch Thelma and Louise and go, I wish they'd start kicking the shit out of each other?
Yeah. Okay. The director of this particular movie, Onur Turkel, is trying to go for
satire. Onur Turkel. Turkish-American director.
He's trying to go for satire. And I like satire, but this satire didn't work for me.
Okay.
It wasn't funny. He's trying to make some political statements about... I don't know. There's a late night talk show that keeps cropping up periodically throughout this film that's hosted by Craig Bierko. And he goes, let's just bring out the human fart machine. And everybody thinks that's so funny. And it's just, it's so
sophomore. It wasn't meant to be funny.
It's so ridiculous. And then there's he throws so much shit on the fan in this thing. I mean, there's like, the draft is reinstated again, and there's like a World War III component. But these things are just lightly touched upon. It doesn't work. The only thing I enjoyed was the fight scenes, and there's three of them. And the only thing I like Dylan Baker, who plays the doctor who specializes in comatose patients, and there's a little twisty kind of thing there where one character lives the same fate as the other character, but it's really boring.
In a hospital room in someone's basement.
Yeah, but it's really boring to sit through. And
I thought it was brave. I can't recommend it.
And you didn't see it.
I can recommend it. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I had a lot of fun with it.
So, right. Bill Bregoli, based on what you've heard, will you watch this movie?
No.
Okay.
Damn it.
Did you see Sorry, Rico.
When satire, Sorry, I feel Rico. Bad when satire.
Well, did you need the cat fight to be in mud, you know, and have
that
like.
Helped.
Come on,
that
guys.
That might have helped.
Or but... Jello. I'm flexible.
I thought the oil. The beating the shit out of each other fight scene was better in Kill Bill. Did you see Doctor Strange? Bill?
Yes, I did what see did Doctor Strange. I have sound bites from Doctor Strange. I have.
Really?
I do.
So let's talk about it, and then let's hear what do you think of Doctor Strange?
That would have been better with Anne Heche. No, I like Doctor Strange. It was just weird enough, and the effects I thought were great. It was odd they didn't get nominated, did they? For
no.
visual effects.
I like when the cape.
Yes, they did. Doctor Strange got nominated for visual effects.
I like when his cape gets
all CGI.
That was a little goofy.
On the enemy. You know what I mean? And, but I like Bill Bocchetti, and I love Mads Mikkelsen. He plays the evil guy here. He's always.
I recommend the movie Doctor Strange. Do you?
Yeah, I recommend it.
Okay,
it's good.
Yeah. And you liked it?
Yeah, Mads in a movie called The Hunt, I believe.
Yeah, listen to this cast. I mean, you got Tilda Swinton. You got Benedict Cumberbatch. You've got.
By the way, if you like Robert Downey Jr. in Iron Man, he's like a toned-down version of
Edgier. Rachel McAdams was kind of wasted in Doctor Strange.
Oh, it was. I'm sick and tired of the way they get these like named celebrities, actors, to be in these tertiary type of roles where they don't mean anything. Well,
listen, I thought it didn't have the humor that Iron Man or they weren't going for humor that Iron Man and Deadpool had. But it's a solid movie. And that little Marvel Cinematic Universe staple where after the credits, they set something. I won't give it away, but he's with another character. I go, this will make a good movie. And Bill Bregoli,
you can say it's Thor.
I got to talk to Benedict Cumberbatch, who actually talked about this particular kind of character.
By the end of the film, he's a superhero, and we all know that's quite an onerous task and often requires quite a solitary existence. Not too many people you can, you know, pillow talk with or, you know, form meaningful relationships when your responsibilities are always other and elsewhere.
You know what's funny is I would never have thought Benedict Cumberbatch would be good in this.
Well, why would he even? Did he talk about why he wanted to take a role in? You know, like he's a real prestigious kind of actor. You know, I mean, why would he want to? Is this a money gig to be like a?
No, he did it for free, Neil.
No.
Being a part of the Marvel Universe allows you to have a 7-year contract making blockbuster films, and you could retire on film number one.
So it is a money thing.
So this is absolutely a money thing. It's a relevant thing, and it's a great thing for your brand. Every actor, whether they're serious, I mean, Daniel Day-Lewis, if they offered him something, he'd consider it.
Daniel Day-Lewis is Aquaman.
Yeah. He'd live underwater for 6 months before
he comes. Boy, on that note, I think what are we talking about next week?
Well, just very quickly, Allied. I liked Allied. It's with Brad Pitt and Marion Cotillard. Didn't do well at the box office. Robert Zemeckis.
I liked it as a good
Back to the Future castaway director.
Yeah.
I think he knows how to tell a good story.
Mrs. McCutty likes
it. It's a real good on-demand rental. And it kind of evokes, the 1940s kind of movies that they don't really make a lot of these days. And it takes place in Casablanca. And,
More like Casablanca.
How would you describe what he's...
I would say let people watch it. So that's... I think we're going like 55 minutes an hour or something.
That's okay. Yeah, yeah. We got a lot of... All right.
They're anyway. Mr. and Mrs. Smith, basically. They're assassins.
They're a married couple, and they're spies, and...
Branny and
happens.
I call them.
And
it's
beautifully
Brad.
Filmed, and I think it's a great on-demand
it's
or DVD rental.
All right,
next week...
All right. Next
time we're together, we're talking about King Kong Skull Island. Anyway, the show. I want to thank.
They're not on your notes.
No, I want to thank
McCutty.
Brad Pitt for sitting here. Oh, wait a minute, it's a mistake. It's Bill McCutty. Oh, I'm sorry.
I get that a lot, by the way.
Yes, and I
want
to thank.
Especially when I'm having sex with Angelina Jolie.
I want to thank.
Anna DeVore. Jack
Ryan
Rico.
Reynolds. It's a mistake. It's Jack Rico, and I want to thank Ryan Gosling. Oh, it's a mistake. It's Bill.
Boy, this bit never gets tired.
It's really
wait,
awful.
It does.
Anyway, thanks for sitting around talking movies with us. We'll sit around talking with you movies next time.